get some love on that. Women, I need you on that gal right now. Please. Oh, there you go. Good job. I think I found out last week why it squelched. This microphone has no micro adjustment, so I think I'm going to need to stand up under here where I'm talking, because if I get out here, see, it does that ringing. We figured it out last week after. Yeah. Huh? We did. A lot of these mics, when you get them, you can unscrew them and they can put another one and it has a decibel gain. And so when you hear that, woo, that means the gain is real big like a balloon. And we want it a little bit smaller, and sometimes you can't get it back there, so we'll adjust something that has like a minus 10 or 15. This didn't come with that, so it's like you get to hear me really loudly. So, Father, we're going to take just a minute here and just pray along beside with all these ladies, and what a great place to be when somebody's hurting. Some other scriptures as well. Ordinary people, extraordinary calling. Would you guys consider yourself somewhat ordinary? Yeah? I consider myself ordinary, right? No, ordinary. If God has called me to do something, then I'm ordained by God, right? But I'm just an ordinary guy. You know, there's not a lot to me. Now, you tell me that, I'll say I'm the best thing since sliced bread, you know? Aren't you that way about yourselves sometimes? You think you're all that in a new T-shirt? You do, right? You do from time to time. I'm not saying to brag about it. I'm saying it's an obvious thing that can happen, you know? We get kind of filled with ourselves. But I have to tell you something. I got to looking at this scripture today, specifically just this one right here, Luke 6:12. That one captured me. Now, I've been reading this throughout the week, and that's kind of how I do. Even though Monday's a day off, I go ahead and start reading for next week, and I'll just have it in my head so I can crock pot it, you know? But this one here kind of got me. Can you do that 6:12 real quick? Yeah, thank you. One day soon afterwards, and that was based on the healings part. Remember, he healed on the Sabbath, if you guys were with us last week. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. Why did he go up on a mountain? I don't know. That's where he went. You know, many a time he'd get up early in the morning and go pray, right? And he would always say that he would get up on the morning, he'd leave where he was at, he would go on a walk, get his exercise, walk the dog, I don't know, something like that. He'd go away and he'd spend time in prayer, watch this, before the sun came up. And he prayed to God, what? All night. Stop and think about that for a minute. He prayed to God all night. What is he talking to God about all night? Well, if God's got you up all night, do you reckon there's something coming down the pike that's going to happen? This is like right before the Beatitudes. So maybe he's thinking about a sermon because he doesn't have a really cool Remarkable 2 tablet, or he doesn't have a really cool phone or paper notes or hand-scribed notes, you know? He's spending time with the Lord. Why would you want to spend time with the Lord in prayer? Why? To hear him? To be with him? To listen to him? To hear what he wants of you, or hear what he wants to speak into you. I'll tell you what, man. One of the things was for me in prayer, I got up at 5:34 to the front couch, you know. And I sat in that little couch, and it has a recliner on it. And I was like, oh, Lord, thank you, because my back's sore, because Mary Lou has been beating me into submission on getting the garden done. And I sat there and I was like, Lord, thank you for this couch. It fits me. Oh, Lord. And then I just sat there like a lump. And I just moved into the time of just thanking God for communication. Stop for a minute. Have you ever just thought about that you can communicate with God so openly and so easily? Have you ever thanked him for that? Just and don't nod your head or anything. I don't want you to feel embarrassed if you haven't. I want to encourage you. Maybe write that on your sheet. I want to thank God for the clothing that I've got every time I fold it or when I give it away. I want to thank God that I was able to get up this morning. I want to thank him for breath. Let me tell you something. I was talking with a guy who is highly developed in the collegiate arts, right? And we were talking about things, and I just kept getting a sense that he's got a lot going on in his life, but he doesn't have thankfulness. And I said, "Brother, I don't mean to be pedestrian here, but I have to tell you something. When I fold my clothes, I'm thanking the Lord for my clothes. You know, when I give my clothes away and I'm looking at them, I will wash them and send them out, you know. And we're like, Lord, thank you that I had this time with these clothes. Thank you. You gave me these clothes. You clothed me. Thank you for them, right?" And we kind of, I said, I don't mean to be pedestrian. I said, but these are some of the things that I'm thankful for when I'm of my right mind. You know, if I'm out of my mind, then I'm not thankful for Boo, and it's all about me, thus boo-hoo, right? Thanking him for stuff. And so we get on with a conversation. He said, you know, I want to circle back to what you said about being pedestrian. He says, I don't think what you do is pedestrian. Pedestrian means common, if you will. He says, I don't think it's pedestrian that you do that. He says, in fact, it's a reminder to me that that's what I'm missing. Think about that. That they're missing being thankful. Do you understand that when you're thankful, you're in a prayerful way? Did you know that? Just being thankful. You're being prayerful. You know? Prosukome. It means to pray. That's what Christ did. It means to make supplication. You know, and we've taught it this way, that supplication is bringing your needs before the Lord. But you need to understand something. Within the supplication, listen, there's an urgency. There's an earnestness. And you're praying for somebody else. You're praying the needs of somebody else. But you're not just going, oh, Lord, thanks for the pizza. Amen. Bite, bite, bite. And you forgot that you even had a Lord that supplied it, right? And so it's that earnestness. And I think of, this is the word he used when he went up to pray. He had that earnestness that he's praying for others and others to come, to commune with him. You know, it's this two-way conversation with God. You understand that, right? See, like right now, this is a one-way conversation. Unless we say, like, what'd you see, what'd you hear, or you belt things out, which I never have bothered me much, and in case they were funny and I just didn't hear them. But it's this two-way conversation with God, and many a time we're like, Lord, 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 and Lord, 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 and this and that, and here we go, amen, right out of the prayer room. And you didn't even take that next 10 or 15 minutes, and in Hebrew it'd be shah. That means to be quiet, right? And to be shah, to be quiet, and just listen. Whether you have a pen, pencil, text, whatever, I prefer or suggest that you bury that phone in when you're praying. Shut it off. Literally shut it off. Watch too. And have that quieted time with the Lord. It's going to be peculiar for you that are addicted to your phone, as I am, to shut everything off and just be quiet before the Lord. Because you'll be, the first thing you'll go through is like, what do I do now? Well, what do I do? I'm not connected to anything. And you kind of have this palpitation going on, you're having a hard time breathing. It's like, oh dude, that's addiction, right? Listen to what he's saying. Maybe even jot it down. Have a pencil or two, a couple of pens and a piece of paper. I was talking with the brothers out here at the table. I said, write this stuff down. Get it out of your head. Literally write it down. Get it out of your head so it doesn't bounce around like a pinball in a machine in your brain. Listen to what he has to say. That's the sweetest part of this whole thing. It's not what you have to say. That's you just doing your offload, right? But when you get the download from Christ, oh my gosh. Look at Philippians 4:6. I think we have it on the board for you. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything, right? Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Did you catch this part? Thank him for all he has done. If you focus on this part, that other part won't be quite as rough. You know, you may not see as many conflicts in your walk with other people, in your own life. Thank him for all he has done. What is the all, and don't say all, what is the all that he has done in your life? Has he liberated you? Has he freed you up? You know, because with liberty comes responsibility, right? Thessalonians 5:17, 1 Thess, it says what? What does that mean? It means when you're driving down the road, close your eyes, cross yourself, take your hands off the wheel. Drive by faith, not by sight. And when you're on a bike, just let it go. Let it go. Any throttle. Never stop praying. It's a condition of the heart, you know. You're grabbing that phone. Let's say, I remember Mary Lou worked a call center, and when they had her working at home, she was in one call after another. And I'm just like, wow, that's a lot of calls, you know. You know that prayer in that? You seeing it as a ministry? One of the things we heard yesterday, you men that were there, do you remember about what he said about work? What do you? It's joy. Your work is a joy. It's not a drudgery. If you're going to your job as a drudgery, you don't have a garden perspective. Your work is a joy, men. It's a treasure. It's a treat to go to work, ladies. I got to go to work again. You need to stop right there. You need to get back over here and go, hey then, Lord, and this and that. And take that 10 or 15 minutes and be quiet and listen what the Lord has to say and set your heart, mind, compass on him for this day. You know, it was great. And tell him how much you appreciate him. Start. Dave, you say this every week. I can tell that that's not going down that way every week because you can feel it in people when they're not thankful. You can be around somebody and go, that's not a thankful person, you know. I was trimming the bushes on our house, and it moved over to our neighbor's yard. And one gal I thought I ticked off more than any because I knocked that bush of hers back to nothing. It was this big old thing, you know, and now it's like, and I was like, oh, man, she's not going to like that. And the other gal, I cut hers back. And so I saw the other gal, and I was like, yeah, I just want to let you know I got all that. She said, well, I didn't feel convicted to do anything. And no thank you, nothing. And that, no, but that's okay. But you need, the better story is not that. The better story, Dave, who are you looking for thanks for? You said you were doing that for me, but I think you're kind of looking for the thank you. And I was. And it didn't take me forever. It was like, oh, sorry. Step away from it, right? So I finally hear from the other lady, holy mackerel! Exclamation point. I haven't seen that part of my yard for 10 years. Thank you so much. You know, triple exclamation. Dude, what would you say? Holy, right? I'm bringing mackerel back. That sounds so much fun. Holy mackerel. You guys remember the grumpier old men or whatever? You have a face like a mackerel, you know? And he did. All night he prayed. John 5:19. Do you have John 5:19? I tell you the truth. This is Jesus, right? The Son, and that's capital S, so that's Jesus, can do nothing by himself. Can we just stop there? He can do nothing by himself. That's us. We can do nothing by ourselves. If Jesus is saying that in a corporeal sense, what do you think that is for us? Dude, there's nothing I can do without him. And the others that I want to get involved in their life and help them get through it, I'm like, Lord, if you have me there, I'm there. If not, I'm chill with that. They don't want to hear anyway. They don't want to listen to you. I'm okay with that. Why am I okay with that? Why am I okay with that? Because it's the Lord's business. And if the Son can do nothing, he does only what he sees the Father doing. This is living in the will of God. Look up. This is living in will. What's God's will for my life? Do only what he what? Sees the Father doing. You just see where he's working, and you know what you do? Come along beside and join him in that work. And it could be for a short time, you know? It could be for a very short time. Whatever the Father does, the Son what? Also do as does, right? You do what he has us doing. Psalm 5:3. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. This is the psalmist crying out. Each morning I bring my request to you and I wait. What? Some of you guys maybe had dated for the first time. I hope he calls me, the girl says. The guy says, how come she didn't return my call? Because you're a jerk. No, I'm kidding. I hope he calls. I hope she calls. You know, do you feel that? Oh, I can hardly wait for the kids to get out of bed. Well, maybe not that one. Something, you know, I just stay in bed a lot. I just need my sleep. Right? But we wait expectantly. That boy yesterday, pancake boy, I looked at him and I was going to do French toast, but the eggs we had floated. You know what that means, right? They're no good. Yeah, we ate them anyway. That's why nobody's here. Okay. He was so, I said, Victor, we're having pancakes. Do you want some Mickey's? So we had Mickey's and panties. And panties, P-A-N-N-I-E-S. Those are little pancakes. One of the guys was talking about, he, when he's a little fella, he couldn't get the whole word pancake, so he called them panties. And to this day, he still wears, I mean, eats panties. It was so cute. And you know what? Guess what? We had a big old stack of Mickey's, and we had a big old stack of panties. And it was so cute, right? And guess what? The expectancy, if you could see their faces, all of the guys, they were so ready for their pancakes. It's pancakes. But see, if it's simple as pancakes, think how much more, right? Pretty wild, huh? Luke 6:13, please. Watch this. So we're done praying, right? He had stayed up all night, Luke 6:13. It's right under the one that's 12. Okay, that's fine. There we go, thank you. Nope, that's not what we're looking for. 6:13. Did I say James? I meant Luke if I said James. My apologies. Luke 6:13. Okay, yeah. At daybreak. You guys know what daybreak is? It's that loud rumbling sound that you hear every single morning. Crack of dawn. That's what that is. This morning. You weren't here. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples. Do you know what the word disciples means? Learners. Learners. Mekathetes. And he chose 12 of them to be apostles, ones that go out and share the good news. Isn't that fun? He took the learners. He said, all y'all learners. He didn't bring 12. He said, he brought up, he chose of them. He chose to be apostles, 12 of them. So there's a lot of disciples up there, right? A lot of learners. There's some that are there to bring the good news, but there's still some learners over here as well. You know, we're all learners and we're all sharers of the. That's what he had been praying for, one of them, all night through. I'm going to have a quick little composite of the 12 names. There will be some more on the next screen. But we'll go over to that disciples page, if you don't mind. But methetes is the word for disciple. It means learner. It's just as simple as that, right? It's followers of Christ, committed to his ways. I love those points. Simon Peter was one of them. He's a fisherman from Bethsaida. Okay, I'll get out of the way if you're doing pictures. There'll be 12 of them. He's a fisherman from Bethsaida. He's impulsive. Are any of you impulsive? Do I have any impulsives? I am. Here, try this. Are anybody FOMOs, fear of missing outs? Okay, so there's some impulsiveness there, right? He's outspoken. Are any of you outspoken? Okay. He denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. Have you denied Jesus? And he was restored. Have you been restored? If not, come see me after. He led of the early church. He preached at Pentecost. He spoke in foreign languages. I just made my 200th day in Duolingo. Woohoo! And there's still a whole lot I got to learn. You know, I'm still learning my Spanish. I listened to one of my nephews yesterday at my great-great-niece's graduation and birthday, and he's like, oh, I just wish I could speak Spanish, you know. Duo, you can get there. Watch this. He led the early church, and he preached at Pentecost. Look at his key trait. Did you see this? Bold. What's the but? Flawed. Are y'all flawed? Learned humility through failure. Why am I having to go through this? Maybe the Lord is teaching you things. You know, maybe he's teaching you how to be happy in smaller things. You know, not quite so many. God uses our weakness to show his strength. That's the application. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Isn't that great to know? How about the next one? His brother, right? Andrew, I think. My screen's not working. Thank you, Lord. Fisherman, just like his brother, right? He was a disciple of JTB, John the Baptist. He was the first to follow Jesus. Isn't that cool? Isn't that really cool? Why would he follow? I don't know. He was with John the Baptist, who was the herald or the foreteller of Christ to come, right? He brought others to Jesus. That's what he did. He just brought them into the presence of Jesus. You know, that's kind of cool. His key trait, he was an evangelist. He always pointing others to Christ. You know, you're not to be God or Jesus. You just point them out. We can invite others to meet Jesus. How about the next one? James. James, son of Zebedee. Fisherman, son of thunder. Right? Jesus' inner circle. First to be martyred. We would call that word witness today. Martyred, we get the word morto, that put to death. He was the first one. But look at his key trait. He had zeal about himself. He was ambitious, right? Look here. God refines our passions for his glory. Do you know it's okay to have passions? Did you know that? It's A-okay to have passions. It's A-okay to use it for his glory. You know, that's a refinement there. How about the next one? His brother John, he's also a fisherman. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Self-proclaimed, by the way. But he's acknowledging the obvious. He was also the one that said he beat the slower-legged one to the race to the tomb. You know, he was bragging about how he was faster than Peter, you know. But Peter got there and he looked in while John was still on the outside awaiting. Wrote the Gospel of John. I got to tell you something. You talk about a masterful work. A 5-year-old, 6-year-old could read it easily or hear it easily, understand it, and theologians are still scratching their head, question mark, bubble. Look at this. Transform from ambition to love. Isn't that something? God loves. God's love shapes us to love others. How about the next one? Philip. You guys know much about Philip? Bethsaida, same area. He's a practical guy. He evangelized the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that? Do you know what you're reading? It was Isaiah the guy was reading. Analytical but obedient. Are any of you guys analytical? We have any analytics angels in here? Yeah, okay, great. God uses our practical minds when submitted to him. You know, I like that stuff. How about Bartholomew? You know, by the way, we saw Autumn and Josh. Autumn was here Thursday night, so she's out of the hospital. Thank you guys for praying. And everything is on track with the baby to be born and the time it's to be born and not earlier and the potential damage to her body. But, you know, when you see her son, they're going to call him Nathaniel, and they don't have the spelling down. I'm going to call him Bart or Tholo, you know, one of the two, right? Likely Nathaniel, honest but skeptical. Tradition suggests that he preached in India and Armenia. You know, there's a war going on with the Armenians right now, right? Honest and seeking the truth. Do you guys seek truth? Are you honest in your ways on this? Look here. God honors genuine seekers. Hey, look, I've said for 100 times is that this right here is a marker for not knowing Christ. This is a marker for knowing him. And I'll ask people, where are you at on this scale? And I say, just tell me to stop. And they'll be over here not knowing Jesus, knowing Jesus. And they'll go, stop. I celebrate because they know where they're at and they know where they're going. And you know something? Those are genuine seekers. The next one. Matthew, Levi is his name. He's a Levitical tax collector, despised by Jews. Wrote the Gospel of Matthew, another amazing writing. Matthew and John are the only ones that were on scene. Mark got it somewhat secondhand, and Luke did a couple of years later, the one we're going through now. Left wealth for Jesus, showing repentance. And you know what I like about this? He was so hated by the Jewish tribe. No one is too sinful for God's redemption. No one is too sinful. But you don't know what I've done. Yeah, he does. No, you don't know, but I'm not your absolutionist. Your absolve comes from the Lord, not me. And he knows you. He knows what you've done. He knows what you chose to do with your life. And you know what? He still sees you of value. And he shows you that I care about you. And Well, I say next. I'm a nexter, right? He took me from where I was. He cleaned me up and said, next. My favorite four-letter word, next. Speaking of, Thomas. I don't like that he's called Doubting Thomas. I really don't. He came in 8 days after everybody else had already seen Jesus with the holes in his hands and the rib, you know. They had 8 days in front of him. Thomas said, you saw it, but I didn't. I need to see it. Well, you're doubting. No, dude, don't you want to see it too? You know, he needed to have that confirmation, but it's unfair to think that all these other 11 got to see and he didn't. I love that the Lord allowed him to wait and really make it mean something to him. I guarantee you the love that he felt when he saw Christ, because it says he leapt towards Christ when he saw him come back after he had risen or come out of the stone. Tradition says he preached in India and died a martyr. You know, all these guys died, right? Because they're not alive still. Well, they are, but not here. Doubting but loyal, declared Jesus my Lord and my God. God meets us in our doubts. Isn't it nice to know that these are human beings with some of the same peculiarities that we have? I love that. How about James? James, son of Alphaeus. Little known, possibly James the less, or we'd call him Little James and Big James. It's not size, it's amount of knowledge of him. Faithful apostle, preached in Persia. Do you guys know where Persia is? Do you know where Persia is? Do you know where Iran is? Now you have Persia. Right? You know, there's a big move of faith in Iran right now, in Persia. I pray that Iran's name goes away and they call it Persia again. The Persian people and the Jewish tradition, the Jewish people were close friends. They weren't enemies as they are today. Key trait, humble, serving quietly. Who's my quiet people? One, two. Who's my liars? Serving quietly, you know. I've told folks this. I am actually, if you look on a Myers-Briggs scale, I'm slightly under the center for introversion, but I'm a coping extrovert. There's many a times that I'm very content with my quiet time, you know. And so God gets me outside of my comfort zone, and I willingly will do that because He's broken my will unto Himself. God values quiet. Catch this? Just because somebody's quiet doesn't mean they're not saved or they're not faithful. You need to understand that. And if you're picking on somebody for being quiet, stop it. That's God's job to move them, not you. If you're picking on somebody for talking too much, that's God's job to mute them. Who are we at there? James? How about Simon the Zealot? The Zealot. Mr. Zeal, right? Opposed Roman rule. Let me ask you a question. Some of you guys are pretty upset from time to time about how the governance has happened. Maybe you didn't like the last 4 years, and now you don't like this 6 months and 3.5 years to go. Who knows? It matters me not, but there was an opposition to rule. Many of you have a libertarian view. You just as soon not have any government at all. Can we get the light back on, please? Thank you. United with diverse apostles under Christ. Passionate, that's the zeal, thus the zealots. I don't know who would be zeal in modern day era, but people that are very promoting of their idea and view, redirected to God's kingdom. So what happened was they took that zeal and said, let's harness that, but use it for the Lord, right? God unites unlikely people for His purpose. Are you starting to get the feel of this? I know the other day when we went through the 39 laws of what it was like to be on a Sabbath, you're getting that same look on your face. These are people of the faith, and Jesus prayed all night and found them worthy to bring the message. I think it finds us worthy to understand them just a little bit more, right? How about Judas, son of James? You know, there's another Judas, right? It's not just Judas Iscariot, right? Thaddeus, we'd probably, that maybe you know, do you know him as Thaddeus? Thad? Okay. Are you more comfortable with Thad, not Judas? Thaddeus, whatever. Also called Thaddeus or Jude. Tradition preaches that he preached in Syria. You know, Syria was just overthrown last couple of years. You knew that, right? They put an ISIS guy in there, so he was kind of the leader of ISIS for a while. Woo, let's help him out. Tradition suggests he preached there. And you know what? What's amazing is that Syria and Turkey, which was formerly Asia Minor, you had Persia. These are all areas that had, Turkey was a bastion of Christianity. Do you guys remember a few years back, and maybe I'll need to bring that up again, I showed a two-minute video, and it had this kind of whited cloud over the world, the global thing, and it showed the advancement and retraction of Christianity, you know? It was pretty interesting to see. His key trait, he was just curious. Anybody curious? Are you kind of inquisitive about things? I wonder how that happened, or what, right? Faithful. For me, I look at all these guys, and I go, man, there's like a couple of cups of this guy and maybe a tablespoon of that one, a little teaspoon of that other. Y'all getting some similarities in there? God uses our questions to deepen our faith, right? How about the other Judas, Mr. I scared a lot, right? Treasurer betrayed you. Money was his thing. Dude, if coins are put in your hand and you clasp your hand firmly around it, that speaks of some things, right? You can have coins and hold them, but if you hold them tight or you're shining pennies and thousands of dollars are going past you, you got some stuff going on here. He was replaced by Matthias. Do you remember how Matty got in there? The other 11 threw lots, cast lots for his name, and that's how he got there. His key trait, key to a trait is not necessarily always good. He chose greed. Maybe you have a greedy way. It doesn't have to be just with money. You could be greedy with your time. You could be greedy with your items, you know? Showing the danger of a divided heart. That's why we always talk about, you know, is Christ your true? You know, you guys know that I have a patriot's heart. I would have been in the Revolutionary War doing it up, wanting freedom, just like everybody else wants freedom. But I have to be careful of a divided heart. I can't love the United States more than I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus. The United States has given me the freedom to love him more, right? Guard your heart and to stay true to Christ. What does that mean to guard your heart? Just that. It means on guard, be awake, be alert, think it through, right? Takeaway from this is Jesus transformed ordinary men to do the work for him. Takes ordinary men, ordinary women, ordinary children, and I'm sorry, some of you think your children hung the moon, but they're just ordinary. How about, yeah, we got that one. Does it bother you to know that your children are ordinary or have been ordinary? I love that God takes the simple things like that, right? I look at these little kids, and to them, they are so special. You heard that little girl scream? Her uncle did it to her. I watched the whole thing go down. Do you know why I always throw a shaker at her? Because I see if I can knock her over. No. It started out with the little shaky things, and I saw her shove it in my mouth. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to touch that. Sorry, but she's got cooties. Girls have them. COVID revealed that girls actually do have cooties, and boys. But this other is actually a Mexican baby rattle. That's why I liked it so much. And I was like, she's a little baby. You know what she does when she screams out when the music starts? Do you know she's singing? She don't know words. Yeah, well, her uncle came in. She's like, get off of me. She'll get close to you, too. Don't worry. When God works through you, he works with you in supernatural ways. Because she was worshiping. That's her little instrument. Just get choked up over that story. Go to Luke 16, 6, 17 through 19 as we close this out. 17 through 19, please. 17 through 19. It's not extended. Look at the 13 one. It'll say 13 through 19. And then you can go find it in there. Tell me when you're there. Keep going. Is that 17? Yep. When they came down from the mountain. So what happened? He prayed all night, talked to Daddy, right? Then he selected them all. We kind of saw who they were, and we knew that God supernaturally worked with them. When they came down from the mountain, The disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area. They would say this as Sermon on the Mount or Mountain Sermon on the Plains. Surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. Who are his followers? That's the other disciples that weren't chosen to be apostles. And then the crowds that are used to the healing. They were people from where? So that'd be like they're people from all over the U.S. and from Jerusalem, Denver, and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. That'd be like, I don't know, Cheyenne. Please, next slide. And they come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Let that stale for a minute. Mary and I are out walking our cute little dog, and to us, she's cute. To you, she's just like a furry critter. Get off me, right? And we're out walking a couple of nights ago, and walking, and we're getting our exercise and feeling good. The sun's going down. The mosquitoes are not evident, I think. Mary had me take some kind of plant and rub it all over myself. You know, what was that?
Poison ivy.
Poison ivy, that's what it was. And I'm still dealing with that today, right? Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. And thank you for reminding me that she did that to me. And we're walking the dog, and we see this little lady come out. And she's probably about this tall. Citronella, poison ivy. So she's walking out, and she's doing this. Right? Guaria is her name. Guadi. Excuse me, not, yeah. Guadi. Hi, how you doing? Beautiful evening tonight. It is. I said, do you live here? And I said, yes. She goes, I live here, two houses away. I live in India, but I also live here. Oh, do you have family here? Yes, my son. She's a proud little mom, right? Her son's probably, I don't know, some of y'all's age, right here. And we talked about the evening. I said, oh, and I know a bit about India. And I said, oh, that's the largest country population-wise in the whole world right now. She goes, oh, and she turned away. Well, she turned this way. Oh, she says, we just have so many people. I said, well, China tried that whole thing out. And by the way, China didn't do much about it. And they're going to die out as a culture in about 20, 25 years because the biggest population of old people 65 and older is China. They had the one-child policy, and they focused on boys, not girls. They threw the girls away and killed them or whatever. Yeah, play with God, and here you go. I understand that they had to make some kind of decision, but I'm like, well, why don't you just let it go? God knows how to do it, but they're communists and not Christists. She was embarrassed by the numbers. I was like, you know what? What a beautiful thing to have those beautiful people. Right? I love when they talk. I would get dizzy because if I swirl around too quick, I get kind of dizzy. But they're talking and they're like this, and if they're really into it, I love that because that's their mannerism. You know, I'm like, what's up? Nothing. Ditto. This is like, maybe it's a vato or it's like cowboy, rednecks, like leapfroggy. You know, my Hispanic brother, what's up? ¿Qué pasó? You know? These other guys like, I just love it because we all have our little ticks, right? Every culture has its tick. She didn't do that. I was just having fun. After about 10 minutes, I'm standing to her right, Mary's to her left, and the dog is just sitting there being, she knows to sit and wait because I'm talking. And I said, your knee. I said, is it okay if I pray for your knee? She goes, that would be okay. And I said, is it okay if I touch your knee? And she, that's okay. And I said, Mary, please touch her because I don't want to be touching her by myself. Mary, touch her arm. Gracie, she's not a healer, so she didn't touch her. Yeah. So I just reached down in Jesus' name. You know, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful weather and no mosquitoes tonight, Lord. And we thank you for Gaudi's family and her sons and just this beautiful time. And Lord, and just waiting for him to say, heal. Lord, in your name, to heal. Heal. I'm not, Lord, do it. It's not like that. It's like waiting, Lord, heal. And she goes, I get done. Fairly quick prayer, a couple of minutes. more praise and adoration, and then thanking him afterwards. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for your impassioned prayer. And I said, you're so welcome. You know, God is still in the healing business, you know, because I don't know pantheistically who she sees as God yet. I don't know these things. But she had a very nice demeanor, such a beautiful spirit of a woman. And I said, she kind of steps in front of us, and she's still doing this. And she takes two or three steps, and she goes, hey, it doesn't hurt. Why does she hop like that? Because that's what she had taught herself already, even this short time. And I said, man, that's great. You know, and we kind of walk around her. We pushed her down. No, we walked around her, and so we're going to continue with our walk. And then I look in the kind of out of the side of my eye as I kind of look back, because I am always aware of my surroundings in case she wants to run up and hit me with something. And I look back and out of the side of my eye, and I see that she's kind of doing a little hobbling, but and then we walk a little further, and she goes, my knee does not hurt. And I said, Jesus is still healing. He's in the healing business. You see how he takes the ordinary and he does the supernatural through? Each one of you had that same ability. There's times that he's going to heal, and there's times that he's not going to heal. You know, it's just, what happened if you prayed and it didn't happen? Nothing. I gave her a foot massage. No, good. You know, there's times it's going to happen. There's times it's not. You know, you look at the faith of the centurion. You know, we won't go there, but it's in Luke 7, 9, and 10. And that faith of that centurion, he says, I've got a servant who's sick. He says, take me to him. He says, nope, I'm a man that says, come, they come, you go, they go. He says, I'm a man under authority. You say it's done, it's done. Let me tell you something, you folks that like things simple, clean, and to the point, that's my guy, Jesus, but that's my guy. He keeps it simpler than it actually is. You know, that limp that lady had is no longer a limp. We'll probably pop by and see how she's doing. And if she limps, what do you think we're going to do? Pray again. Don't kick her in the other leg. Is that what you said? That way you won't know if she's limping. She just waddles. Oh, she's sitting right back there. Kidding. God uses ordinary people to do supernatural things. Simple. Look at James 5, if we have it, 14 through 15. James 5, 14 through 15, please. Are any of you sick? I'm sick of this. You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, please. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. What has that got to do with healing if you're sick? Well, you could be spiritually sick too. You know, I like how the guy yesterday, when he was talking in that retreat from the men, he says, talking about the guys, oh, I'm struggling. No, brother, you're sinning. You may be a Christian, but you've chosen to sin. I'm struggling. No, you're watering it down. You remember that? You're sinning. Call it what it is and stop it. You know, sometimes you'll get wrapped up in some old movie track in your head, and you'll go down that way. And, oh, by the way, maybe you're too prideful, you know, and you're not being the humble. Well, you've allowed yourself to come back into pride, whatever that may be. I love that he says, go to the elders and just get with them and be prayed for, right? We're like the apostles. We're just ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's each and every one of you. Never forget that. Why am I going through a rough patch? I don't know. Why are you looking to the Lord? Great. Now guess what? Once you get done with that rough patch, he's probably going to use you to help somebody else that's going through a rough patch too. And everybody gets God's glory in it, you know? We have a job to do. Go and make disciples. Right now you're being made of that as well. You're to be sent out to share the gospel and serve. Well, some are apostles, some are... He didn't say that when he flew out. He said, go therefore, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need perfect in the analytical sense, without fault. He doesn't need perfect people. He needs willing hearts. All you got to do is be willing, even on your worst of days. The apostles were flawed. We saw that. Yet they turned the world upside down. Can we look at Acts 17:6 real quick? Not finding them there, they drug them out of jail. The apostles, they were looking for them. They were turning their world upside down, these Pharisees and Sadducees and such. And some of the other believers instead, they took them before the city council, said, Paul and Silas has caused trouble all over the world. Now they were being, exclaiming this. They hadn't gone all over the world, but that's how they felt about it. And they should, and now they're here, they shouted, and now they're here disturbing our city too. Do you understand what happened to this? I had a picture I posted on Facebook. It's the Jack Sparrow running from all the tribal guys chasing him down the white sand beach. He's running away. He says something like, all I did was read the scripture out loud. and they're chasing him. Same kind of thing. Just by you preaching Jesus, you're going to turn the world upside down. You tell me that lady didn't feel better, that her little knee is not hurting right now. And she doesn't have to put any poisons or anything inside her body. Huh? Thank you. I forgot that piece. You want to expound on that? And she invited us to come over to her house. Yeah, so I'm going to get prepared for whatever they eat. I don't know, but I know it's going to be good and I'm going to love it. Yeah. Father, we thank you so much for the day. Father, would you create in us a thankful heart, even when it's not easy? Just one thing. Can we just thank you that our heart beats without us thinking about it? Or our eyes blink right before they're super dry? Or the saliva glands work when we need a little bit of moisture in our mouth or thinking about a meal? Father, can we just tell you thank you that one part of our body is working out of the 3 trillion cells, there's 2 or 3 of them in there that are bouncing around doing just fine. Father, that we have a measure of decent health, or the finances are okay, or you got us an employment, or Father, this life is not drudgery. It's not a dread. It's all in our head, Lord. When our eyes are on you, it just seems to make it a little more palatable. Doesn't mean that the things go away necessarily. It just makes it more palatable. Father, I pray for each and every person here and in earshot that they recognize the time of prayer with you, the time of quiet, the time of non-disturbed electronics time with you, 5-10 minutes a day in the morning early, Lord. That they get their understanding that they don't have to be perfect to do your work. And lastly, Lord, that you're still in the healing business and the, as Mary Lou said, the caring business, Father. Thank you for the lessons. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. Go and do, folks, family online. Everybody say, bye, family online, 1, 2, 3. Bye. See you guys. Remember, direct message us, DM us if you have any challenges or need. And we'll send Josh come right over and help you out with whatever you need. Just kidding. He doesn't know where you live in England. We'll see you next time. Guys, enjoy your day. Go chill out. Have fun. Remember to be a part of the backpack. Remember the baptism. Remember to pray for those you saw baptized. Remember that the Lord is good. Get out of here. Have fun.